You know, it's as though we've all been teleported into the movie Tron, which comes out later this month. We're all inside some cyber world watching this battle take place. Are you paying attention?
Brett Cheney, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I don't believe that Julian Assange considers himself evil. I think he believes what he's doing is noble and that he's building towards some bright future where there's no secrecy and everyone knows everything and we're forced to come to compromises. However, what he's doing is reckless.
One listener's comment, reckless. Is that the takeaway from what's going on with WikiLeaks and all of the various countermeasures to both fight back against WikiLeaks and to defend WikiLeaks on the Internet? I'm John Huckenberry. This is The Takeaway. Celeste Headlee will be back tomorrow, but we are continuing our sort of look at what's going on online as WikiLeaks and its adversaries and allies battle it out in some way. Greg Hausch joins us. He's an internet activist from Boston, Massachusetts, on a cell phone line this morning. Greg, can I just put the question directly to you from our listener? Is Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, doing something reckless?
I don't believe so.
Why not?
Well, you know, we have a balance that needs to be struck here. There's corruption in the government. There's corruption in these big corporations. And, you know, some people think what he's doing is exposing personal information or things that might get people hurt. And so far there's been no cases, nothing credible, saying that anything that WikiLeaks has done has actually hurt anyone. So you have to balance, you know, how much you risk the personal safety of, you know, any one person that might be in one of these cables versus how much you want to root out all this corruption at the highest level.
Well, who has to balance it? I don't see any evidence that Julian Assange is balancing anything. And even if he is, he's just the one guy. There's no sort of accountability.
There isn't any. And that's, you know, that makes it tough. The one big thing that they have been doing is dealing with, you know, what you might consider the old media. You know, they've had Der Spiegel, they've had The Guardian, they attempted to have New York Times to kind of mess things up, and that didn't go so well. But they had these people helping them in the redaction, in the gathering of the data, in the decisions of what to release and what not to release. And there's still a lot of these cables that aren't coming out because there's just no way to redact them properly.
All right. As far as the attacks on, say, MasterCard.com or Visa or PayPal, these are business partnerships that have been withdrawn from WikiLeaks in response to either government pressure or just a sense that these companies don't want to be in the middle of this whole thing. And Amazon even is involved here. Would you consider being a part of something like that?
The actual attacks?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting there in their chat channels, and I'm sitting there on their little forums, you know, watching all of this as it goes by. And, you know, to some degree, it's productive, and in a completely other light, it's counterproductive. The productive thing that they're attempting to get done that, you know, we all feel from this side is these companies should learn to be a little less scared of the government. You know, I'm sure that they don't want to get in any kind of trouble, and that's understandable, but when they remove people for violating their terms of service and saying that they aren't allowed to use their services for illegal activities, well, they've all said that term, illegal activities. Julian, WikiLeaks, none of them have actually been charged with any crimes relating to this.
Right.
And
but Greg.
So far, we know that there aren't any laws that they've even been able to name that they've probably broken.
Right. Greg, you're being very articulate, and I admire you for that. But you are dodging the question. Are you tempted to be a part of one of these denial of service attacks?
No, I don't agree with actually doing that personally.
All right. So you think that is reckless?
I think there are better ways to spend your time. The only reason they're doing it is because the press keeps covering it and they need the media coverage to keep getting more members.
All right. So it's back to us here in the mainstream media. Greg, you make a good point. Martin Levicki is a senior management scientist at the RAND Corporation who's taken a look at a lot of these issues. He's on the line from Maryland. What do you make of that discussion that I was just having with Greg Hausch up in Boston, who's still on the line, Martin?
Well, you know, When I take a look at this whole WikiLeaks thing, I think the thing that impressed me was not the content, but the volume of the material that he was able to get his hands on. And you have to ask yourself, in a system like this, was it necessarily constructed and operated in the best possible way that somebody could do that? Why is it that somebody was able to download hundreds of thousands of documents to his desk when, you know, a private in Iraq probably has no great need for State Department cables without the system sort of putting up a red flag? I think it's an interesting lesson in information security, and it's a lesson that I'm understanding that people are actually taking to heart. But there's a broader lesson here, is that if you run a large enough network that is undifferentiated, that allows people to get access to everything, sooner or later somebody's going to get access to something and do something with it that you don't like, and you're facing the law of averages. And when you face the law of averages, maybe you ought to rethink your architecture.
And I guess the question is, who's choosing the threats here and who's deciding the targets? And is there any sort of oversight when groups like Anonymous can suddenly be, you know, the most famous internet users for a day in the world? Greg Hausch, let me come back to you here for just a moment. You say that you have better things to do than to be involved in a denial of service attack like this. But it's my understanding that you had something to do with an attack on the Church of Scientology recently.
Well, recently is a bit out there, but we've been going for a few years now. We started in January 2008, and again, just like with this group, you know, there's the group that are doing the DDoS, but there's also the other group of people that are getting together and doing the mirroring, which is what I believe more people should be focusing their time
on. Which are you?
Spreading the information.
Are you the DDoS dude or are you the mirroring dude?
I'm the mirroring dude.
I see. And that is so here we are having a 21st century ethical discussion here. So you think mirroring is more virtuous than DDoS, denial of service attacks?
Right. I think the DDoS serves its purpose because it gets the media. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. I just would prefer to spend my time doing things that I think are a little more constructive, such as the mirroring.
And, of course, that's your opinion. It's not necessarily, you know, what
prosecutor
might think.
Thousands of people. Yeah, there's thousands of people who obviously believe the other way.
Yeah. Greg Hausch is an internet activist in Boston. He's going to stay with us. Martin Lubicki is a senior management scientist at the RAND Corporation. I know, Martin, you have a lot more to say. Stay with us as well. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the threat to U.S. security and the question of accountability for these hackers. Stay with us. So continuing our conversation now with Greg Hausch, an internet activist who has worked with this group, Anonymous, that we've been talking about for the last couple of days. Also, Martin Lubicki, senior management scientist at the RAND Corporation. Let's review the bidding now. This escalation of an attack, which we first noticed yesterday against certain sites which have withdrawn their business services from WikiLeaks, MasterCard.com, Visa, PayPal, all targeted apparently by Anonymous or sympathizers with Anonymous, ostensibly to back up or to respond to attacks against WikiLeaks, which they think are inappropriate. The escalation is evidenced by the fact that we're now learning that Sarah Palin's website is down. She's blaming, or spokespeople for Sarah Palin are blaming Anonymous for that attack. We don't know if they're actually linked. Here to continue our discussion of what the threat actually is here and what the significance is of perhaps the threat to national security posed by an organization like WikiLeaks is Martin Lubicki and Greg Hausch. Martin, let's begin with you here. Greg Hausch, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, and Greg, you can disagree with me in a moment if I mischaracterize you, but it seems to me that people like Greg are saying that WikiLeaks' technological capability is a better tool than all the prosecutors and lawyers and institutions of accountability in government that keep secrets from going awry. What do you believe?
Well, the structure of the internet makes it fairly simple to replicate information all over the world, particularly if you have a lot of people who are willing to replicate the information for you. It's sort of like trying to clean up after somebody has strewn 10,000 leaflets over your city. Okay, the information is there. It's very difficult to clean it up one item at a time, and it's a fact of life in the 21st century.
So does fact of life mean that prosecutors now have a new tool, perhaps a government-oriented WikiLeaks tool that would allow individuals in the government to leak to prosecutors? Or should this be something that's handled completely in an open source, outside of government, outside of corporate institutions? Martin first and then Greg.
Okay, if I understand your question, if I'm an individual and I leak to, say, outside the government for whatever purposes, my purposes or the other purposes, then the question is not how you suppress the information. The question is, what's my legal liability? And the legal liability doesn't necessarily change. And your ability to trace activity on the Internet is comparable to your ability to trace anonymous activity, say, in the real world. In many cases, somewhat better, because we tend to leave a lot of electronic, as it were, footprints and fingerprints all around.
Okay, so Greg Hausch, what would you say? Should lawyers just have access to the tools that Julian Assange of WikiLeaks has, or should this be handled outside of governments, outside of corporations, and really that's the only way to assure accountability?
Well, the big problem we have here is WikiLeaks wouldn't really exist if stuff like this was being handled internally. It's not actually being dealt with, so someone had to do it, and they stepped up. So I don't know that the government's willing to do it.
You know, it was noted by Wired magazine recently, really within the last couple of months, that most people on the Internet use apps. They're actually not on the Internet. They're actually in environments like Facebook or Google or, places that actually are part of a corporate entity. Is it the case that there are relatively few people who are sort of raw users of the Internet who are capable of carrying out these kinds of denial of service battles, Greg?
No, not at this point. Not the way that this one is going, because the people behind Operation Payback have come up with a fairly ingenious way to do it, where it's as simple as downloading a small piece of software, entering one little web address into this software and hitting a button. And you've joined what they're calling a voluntary botnet. You don't have to have any talent. You minimize the application, and it's sitting down in your little system tray there, and you don't even know it's doing anything, and it's off just joining in. And anytime they change their target, everyone who's part of the voluntary botnet changes their target and goes after them, which is
and
why,
botnet, you know, botnet. Let's just help people out here. Botnet refers to a sort of a semi-autonomous network of software-driven activity that aggregates millions of computers together so that when one person makes a command, all the computers do it. Is that a fair characterization?
Right, and it's normally not, you know, voluntary like this. Normally it's, you know, done by pretty bad people doing bad things, just infecting people's computers. This is really the first voluntary botnet that's done any major action online.
All right, so Martin Libicki, what is the threat here? You've described this as relatively minor so far. Where does it go from here?
Well, I think it's very interesting, but let me give you an analogy. Let's say 1,500 people tried to call your home phone. How many of your friends do you think could get through to you? And the answer is very, very few. It's a little easier actually to protect the Internet in that sense. The problem is, as my colleague here has pointed out, that it's also a lot easier to give people instructions to go around and call lots of folks over the Internet, so to speak. This is a problem with the Internet architecture, but in many ways it's inherent in communications architecture all throughout. Is this a major threat? Well, if you had to look in terms of the damage is relatively minor compared to a whole lot of other Internet threats. If you have to look at it from a political point of view and say, oh, now we have a tool that allows anybody to shut anybody else up, then that becomes a potential political problem.
Can you hold...
But it hasn't achieved that dimensions yet.
The stakes are the issue here. And before we go, can you hold a hospital hostage? Can you hold, like, Social Security hostage with something like this?
Probably not Social Security. As far as the hospital is concerned, a lot depends on the structure of their phone lines. But it won't keep the ambulances from rolling up to the door.
And, Greg Hausch, you wouldn't be tempted to do something like that, would you?
Absolutely not. This is really only aimed at people who are sticking their neck out saying, me next. You know,
right.
The only reason MasterCard was hit was, you know, what they did.
All right. I hope your mom's listening. Greg Hausch is Internet activist on the line from Boston, Massachusetts. Martin Libicki, senior management scientist at the RAND Corporation, assessing the risk in the cyber wars as they continue.